Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Sir, tell me when you're ready.
Yes.
So we're in alignment with those two numbers, 3.9 inches as of 6 a.m., 12.5 inches as of 12 p.m. on January 29th, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry if I wasn't sure if you wanted me to do all the arithmetic again, but I did do that, and yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate you doing that. You talked about the concept of visibility on your direct examination. In terms of visibility, did I hear you correctly that there's a correlation between the amount of snow coming down and visibility?
The intensity of the snowfall, so the amount over time in visibility, right?
Right. So the intensity or amount over time. How would you describe visibility from 12 midnight or 12 a.m. on January 29th until 1 a.m., that 1 hour period? How would you describe visibility?
I really don't know exactly. I can look at the report from NOAA Airport. They measure the visibility.
Could you do that, sir? Would that be easy enough for you to do?
Yep. Do you need a light, Mr. Gilman? Do you need lights on?
If we're going to do more than one, I would, but let's see if I can. Thank you, Your Honor. And we were asked about 1 a.m., is that?
Yes, visibility at 1 a.m.
Okay, visibility reported at 1 a.m. was 1.2 miles in light snow.
And what does that mean, a visibility of 1.2 miles?
1.25 miles, 1.25 miles. It means that anything that was more than 1.25 miles away from the observer would be hidden by the snowfall. You wouldn't be able to see it.
And what does it mean if it were the visibility was less than 1.25 miles?
Again, as the visibility lowers, your ability to see objects in the distance is reduced.
So assume, sir, that somebody is 30 feet away from an object they want to see, and the visibility is 1.25 miles. Would they be able to see that object based upon your experience with visibility and your your career in that area?
All other things being equal, yes.
Right. So would it be fair to say visibility would be good 30 feet if it's a 1.25 mile and beyond?
Can you answer that, Mr. Gilman?
Can I further explain to the jury about visibility? Thank you. A term like good for visibility would generally apply more toward 8 miles, 10 miles is good visibility. So it's hard to say that anything under 3 miles. For instance, we go from calling visibility reduction in haze to fog once, it's really the same atmospheric phenomenon, but once you get below 3 miles, we call it fog or dense fog. So anything below that, when you reduce visibility by fog, haze, snow below 3 miles, it's hard to call it good visibility.
But if something is at 1.25 miles, there's visibility, correct?
Of 1.25 miles, yes.
Yes, there is visibility.
And again, if I could explain further to the jury, a lot of this is developed for aviation.
Right.
And if you're a pilot or you think about what a pilot needs to go through, that's where these terms come from.
I understand, sir, but you are in the weather forecasting business, correct?
I sure am, yes.
And you, and weathercasters, we all hear on TV talk about visibility on their forecast, correct?
Correct.
And they're not talking just to pilots, right? They're talking to people who are going to drive, people who are going to walk, is that correct?
And it is a challenge to communicate that, yes.
But sir, my question is, when someone, a weathercaster, weather person is talking about visibility, the main target audience are for people who are going to be driving or walking, correct? There's not pilots that they're giving.
Well, I don't know, but I would never expect, and I do broadcast meteorology, a broadcast meteorologist to say visibility was good if it was less than a mile and a half.
Yeah, sir, I appreciate that, but my question's not, I've left whether it's good or not. I'm talking about the purpose of weathercasters speaking about visibility.
Yes.
You had indicated in your earlier answer you had tethered it to pilots, but there's also an application of the visibility concept for the rest of us in the world who drive and walk, correct?
Yes,
isn't it useful for that?
Absolutely, and I'm trying to answer your question about whether the visibility was good.
Right, but I'm not asking that question anymore. My question is just, is
I only know what you asked me.
All right, I'll try it a different way. Visibility is a concept that is used by weathercasters to assist people who are going to be walking or driving. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. So now let's go on to the concept of temperature. You mentioned the concept of wind chill on your direct examination. You recall that, sir?
I was asked about it, yes.
Yes. Does wind chill have a relationship to temperature, and if so, what is it?
It does have a relationship to temperature. It's a complex function that was developed by the U.S. Air Force in the 50s to help produce cold weather gear. And it was determined that wind had a major impact on our military in terms of what type of gear they needed, in addition to how low the temperature was. So it's a measurement of temperature to begin with, and then there's a complex function applied based on the wind speed to come up with how that air temperature, how that air is going to impact the human body.
So is it fair to say that if you have a temperature, and what I wanted to do is to go to the temperatures that you gave on your direct examination, is it accurate to state that, for example, on January 29th, I believe I heard you say there was a high of 29 and a low of 15. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, that was my report based on all those three locations, yes.
And you had also testified about wind speed and wind gusts as well. And can you state, if you have it in your notes,
I do, yes. It was in the report, yep.
Yep, and what was the wind speed? The average and then high gusts.
Sure. 23 miles an hour with frequent gusts of 47 miles an hour.
So what does your number 23, how does that affect temperatures of 29 and 15?
It makes that air feel much colder. So that air, that 20 degree air, did you say 20 and
29, 15? Sir, and 15, okay, were the numbers you had given?
That range for that day, sure.
Yeah.
So it makes that air temperature feel colder, and it allows that air to take heat out of your body more efficiently and more rapidly. So it feels much colder, and we can calculate roughly how it would feel if there was no wind at all.
And sir, thank you. You've gotten right to my next point, and I only have a few more questions left for you. So if you have the highest temperature on the 29th of 29, January 29, 2022, do you know what the wind chill factor would do in terms of a calculation number to bring that 29 number down? Do you know what that number would result in applying the most conservative wind speed of 23?
I wasn't asked to calculate that, no.
would it be less than zero? Just an estimate.
Based on the 29 temperature?
Based on the 29.
No.
Would it
I
be
don't
in,
believe so.
Would it be in the teens?
Yes.
So the 29 would be in the teens. And then for the low of 15, approximately what number might that get down to?
Again, depending on the wind, if you looked at 5 miles an hour, it wasn't that wind all day, and that 15 degree might not have been corresponding to any wind at
just
all.
Just using your right. average that you used on direct of 23.
The average wind, again, made it feel much colder, bitterly cold, extremely cold when you were out in the highest wind at the lowest temperature. So it may have felt like zero to even 10 below zero at the lowest temperature and the highest wind gusts.
So if I got that correct, so 15 was the lowest temperature you gave in direct on January 29th, and you state that it would be, with the wind chill using about an average of 23, would be zero or maybe minus 10. Is that the number correct?
Again, I'm just guessing. I didn't do the calculation. I wasn't asked to do the
Fair
calculation.
Enough.
But based on my experience of reporting in this area for 45 years, I basically get the idea of what it's like when the temperature is that low and the wind is that high. Yeah.
Right, and if we could please have the chart published back up, please. You can keep the lights on, you just make it larger. I want to make sure Mr. Gilman has some facile with his notes. Okay, so is it correct to say that if the total accumulation for the storm was 23.8 inches, that the vast majority of that accumulation came well after 6 a.m.
Yes.
And as of 6 a.m., we've only got 3.9 inches compared to what the storm ended up at, about 23.8. And then importantly, from midnight on January 29th until 3 a.m., we've got just 1.2 inches, correct?
Exactly.
May I have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Please bear with me a moment, Mr. Gilman. Thank you for answering my questions, Mr. Gilman.
You're welcome.
Anything else, Mr. Lally? Okay.
Mr. Gilman, you were asked about the snowfall between 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. How much snow again was there during that time frame?
During that time frame, about 0.3 inches.
Okay. And during that time frame was probably the least amount of snow that was on the ground during the course of the storm, correct?
During that hour or two previous. Yeah, there was really, in fact, I have this chart I showed, the graph, the map. It just showed a trace of zero. There was less than an inch on the ground. Okay. And we measure snow on the ground in whole numbers, so it would either be 1 inch or zero.
So that would be during what you've characterized as the track a cat stage, correct?
Yes.
And so it's during that track a cat stage that there's the least amount of snow between the frozen ground and anything that may come down on top of it, correct?
Yes.
Now, quickly as it applies to visibility. When you were asked about visibility in 30 feet, you said all other things being equal. What are some of the things that would make it unequal?
a car in front of you, a building in front of you, a person, you know, anything other than weather. And there are other types of weather that can lower the visibility besides snowfall, including fog.
So darkness, as far as nightfall versus daytime, that would have a negative impact on your visibility?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
What about lighting? Would lighting impact the visibility of an object?
Yeah. I really can't say that. Lighting, obviously, you need some light to see anything. That's really all I could say.
And lastly, sir, as far as wind chill is concerned, again, could you explain to the jury exactly what is wind chill? What is it measuring?
Again, it was developed for the military in the 50s to help design. It was actually done here at the Natick Labs here in Massachusetts to help design cold weather gear, because prior to that time, during World War II, the Korean War, unfortunately, especially Air Force aviators were suffering. They had clothing that might have been adequate for the temperature, but because of the wind, they suffered frostbite and other ill effects. And so research was done, and the result of that was a wind chill temperature, the way it would feel to the human body based on the wind on a certain temperature.
And so the wind chill is measuring the impact of how a person experiences the air temperature, correct?
Exactly.
I have nothing further. Thank you, sir.
Anything, Mr. Lessie?
No further questions, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Gilman, you are all set, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Do you have any the marked exhibits or identification?
I have relinquished them to this nice young lady.
Thank you. Next witness.
Thank you. The Commonwealth recalls Nick Guarino.
Okay.
Your Honor, I'll inform this will be the last recall for Mr. Guarino.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
Again, if you need to stand at any point.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. May I proceed?
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Last time you appeared, there were a number of extraction reports that we introduced into evidence. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And just remind us briefly what an extraction report is.
It's the information from the cell phones that I pull up via cell phone.
All right, so I'm just going to ask that this witness identify himself.
My apologies, Your Honor. Could you please, again, introduce yourself to the jury, spell your last name for the record?
Yes. I'm Trooper Nicholas Guarino, G-U-A-R-I-N-O.
You would explain what an extraction report is.
Yes, it's the information in the cell phones. We can create PDFs or portable cases from information, whatever is specified.
An extraction report, can it be general or more narrow?
Yes, it can be.
I want to introduce a few more extraction reports that we didn't get to last time.
Okay.
In this case, did you use Mr. O'Keefe's phone to create an extraction report that included all of his calls from the 28th and the 29th of January 2022?
Yes, I did.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Any of your documents, do you recognize that document?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
It's John O'Keefe's call logs from everyone from the 29th to the 28th.
Thank you. I move this into evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you. 65.
Did you create an extraction report that included a text message between the defendant and Jennifer McCabe?
Yes, I did.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
And in your document, do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us what that is?
Yes, it's the text chain from the defendant to Jen McCabe.
I move this into evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you. Exhibit 66.
Yes. In 1 moment. Thank you. With the court's permission, could Mr. Guarino read this to the jury?
Okay.
Could you kindly read that and explain it to the jury?
With the all the information on it?
Yes.
Okay. This is from the defendant to Jen McCabe, 7:26:52 a.m. on the 29th. It says, can you send me Carrie's number?
Thank you. Did you further create an extraction?
Sorry, Mr. Brennan. In terms of that reading of the document, you just have a check on that, please. Sorry, everyone.
No problem.
Yes.
Can you review that again?
Yes.
And do you see who that's from and who it's to?
I'm sorry, Mr. It's from Jen McCabe to the defendant.
And what does it say?
Can you send me Carrie's number?
What time and date?
That is 7:26:52 a.m. on April 29th, 2022.
Thank you. Did you do a further extraction report from John O'Keefe's phone with text messages between him and a person named Kaylee?
Yes, I did.
May I approach?
Yes.
You recognize that?
Yes.
What is it?
It's the text chain between John O'Keefe and Kaylee.
The date?
It goes, sorry, it's kind of faded. January 28th, 2022 to January 29th, 2022.
Thank you. I move this into evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Exhibit 67.
Okay, Trooper Guarino, we're done with extraction reports.
Okay.
Did you have an opportunity to obtain phone messages, phone calls, and text messages between the defendant and Mr. O'Keefe?
Hold on. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Trooper Guarino, did you have an opportunity to obtain phone calls, voice messages, and text messages from the defendant to Mr. O'Keefe's phone on the evening of January 29th, 2022?
Yes, I was.
Where did you get the phone call records from?
From John O'Keefe's phone.
Where did you get the voicemails from?
Also from John O'Keefe's phone.
Where did you get the text messages from?
From John O'Keefe's phone.
Did you have an opportunity to take those phone calls the voice messages and the text messages and put them in a chronological order?
Yes, I did.
Did you include all of the phone calls, all the text messages, and all of the voicemails?
Between John O'Keefe and the defendant, yes.
Did you create a PowerPoint to put them in a chronological order?
Yes.
May I approach you, Your Honor?
Yes. Show Mr. Alessi.
Sorry. Showing you a binder, sir. Could you open it up? Tell us what this is.
Yes, this is the phone calls and text messages between the defendant and John O'Keefe, as well as the voicemails. Wow.
Is there a package in the front of that binder?
Yes, there is.
And what is that package?
It says defendant's voicemails and on 129-2022. The USB thumb drive that should have those files on.
Your Honor, I move this binder as the next exhibit. It would include both the PowerPoint presentation as well as a clip of the phone calls.
No objection, Your Honor.
Should, yes. Do you need the thumb drives?
I don't.
Okay.
Mark this, please.
Exhibit 68.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With the court's permission, I would ask that Trooper Greeno take us through the PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is it okay to begin?
Okay. Please.
So these are the phone calls on the 29th. So at 12:33, 35 a.m., the defendant calls John. That phone call is not answered. 12:34, 09 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:34, 38 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:35, 09 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. 12:35, 35, the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:36, 09 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered.
Trooper Greeno, let me stop you there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look into any internet connection between the defendant's phone and the router and the internet connection at Meadows Ave, John O'Keefe's home that night?
Yes. At 12:36:39 a.m., the defendant's phone auto-connects to the Wi-Fi HATSFAM123.
Are you familiar with the router at Mr. O'Keefe's home?
I have not done a look at it in person, but that's the no network that's listed under it. There's two, HATSFAM123 and O'Keefe 74.
Did you learn the range that a connection must be in order to connect to his router?
Yes, so depending on the router, it's either a 2.4 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz radio band or signal band, I should say. Depending on which one it's connecting to, which band, it's either 150 foot indoor range or up to 300 feet outdoor. So again, when you pull into your home, sometimes you can still be connected to your home Wi-Fi in the driveway.
And again, can you give us the time of the connection between the defendant's phone and Mr. O'Keefe's router at Meadows Ave that night?
Yes, 12:36:39 a.m.
Please continue.
At 12:36:40 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. At 12:37:08 a.m., the defendant calls John, and voicemail number one is left with voice.
Ms. Gilman, would you kindly play the voicemail for 12:37:08?
John, I fucking hate you!
At 12:38:26 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:39:03 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:39:37 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:40:43 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. At 12:41:35 a.m., the defendant calls John. Voicemail number two is left. Some beeping noises, appears to be a butt dial or accidental call.
Ms. Gilman, could you play the voice message at 12:41:35?
The defendant then texts John O'Keefe at 12:55:31 a.m. on the 29th, I'm going home. The defendant texts John O'Keefe, see you later at 12:55:50 a.m. on the 29th. At 12:58:19 a.m., the defendant calls John, it's not answered. 12:58:47 a.m., the defendant calls John, it's not answered. 12:59:24 a.m., the defendant calls John, voicemail number 3 is left with voice.
Ms. Gilman.
John, I'm here with your fucking kid. Nobody knows where the fuck you are, you fucking pervert.
At 1 a.m. 26 seconds, the defendant calls John, it's not answered. At 1 a.m. 49 seconds, the defendant calls John, voicemail number 4 is left, it's a 1 second call, no sound.
Ms. Gilman.
That was it. The defendant texts John O'Keefe, your kids are cucking alone at 1:02 a.m. on the 29th. Defendant texts John O'Keefe, I'm back in Mansfield, the kids are home alone, 1:04:14 a.m. on the 29th. At 1:10:17 a.m., the defendant calls John, voicemail number 5 is left with voice.
Ms. Gilman.
Yeah, it's 1 in the morning. I'm with your fucking niece and nephew. You fucking pervert! You're a fucking pervert!
At 1:10:44 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. At 1:12:18 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 1:12:46 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 1:13:13 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. Sorry. At 1:14:11 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 1:14:44 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. 1:16:10 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. 1:16:38 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. At 1:17:37 a.m., the defendant calls John. So when voicemail 6 is left with voice.
Ms. Gilman.
John, I'm going home. I cannot babysit your niece. I need to go home. You are fucking using me right now. You're fucking another girl. Kim's sleeping next to me. You're a fucking loser. Fuck yourself.
At 1:18:38 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. At 4:38:14 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:38:49 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:39:39 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:40:05 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:42:05 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:42:54 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:45:10 a.m., The defendant calls John, not answered. 5:04, 27 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:21, 28 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:21, 58 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:23, 26 a.m., the defendant calls John. Voicemail number 7 is left with voice.
Ms. Kilman.
At 5:24, 27 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:25, 28 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:26, 14 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:28, 16 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:28, 43 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:29, 21 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:29, 46 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:30, 15 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:30, 52 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:31, 21 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:36, 29 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 6:03, 02 a.m., the defendant calls John, and voicemail number 8 is left with some voice and noise and background.
Ms. Gilman, could you play that, please? We have the lights on, please. I have no further questions.
All right. Mr. Alessi, does this seem like a good time to take the lunch and recess?
It does, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. So, folks, we will take a 45-minute lunch and recess.
Court, all rise, please. Jurors, close your notebooks and follow me.
Goodbye. Welcome to Zoom for Enter your participant. Please enter the meeting pass. You have joined the meeting as an attendee and will be muted throughout the meeting.
With that concession, you may be seated.
The host would like you to unmute your microphone. You are unmuted.
All right, Mr. Alessi, you all set?
Thank you, Your Honor. No questions for the witness.
All right. You are all set. You know.
Thank you.
Do you have another witness?
I do.
Okay.
I have some other matters I'd like to introduce before
sure.
that. I may? Your Honor?
Yes.
I'd like to introduce clip one and play it for the jury.
In drunkenness and in the cold, didn't come to again. In this moment, you would drop them all at the party. Yeah, would have had to.
Your Honor, I have keeper record certificates I'd like to mark for identification. Okay. May I approach?
Yes. Thank you.
There's a series of them, Your Honor.
Sure.
And these are all for identification.
Okay. Yep.
Right now. Please
write me.
Next, I'd like to introduce as an exhibit the text messages that I met with Mrs. McKay during her testimony.
Okay. Forget it, just a moment.
I'd move this into evidence, please.
All right.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you. Exhibit 7. Exhibit 7.
Thank you. Your Honor, may I call the Commonwealth's next witness?
Please.
Commonwealth calls Charles Ray.
Commonwealth calls Charles Ray.
If we could, we'll call a different witness who's available.
Okay.
We'll call Kevin O'Hara, please.
We'll call Kevin O'Hara.
I'll see counsel at Cyber, please. All right, Mr. Brennan, the next witness for the Commonwealth is who?
We're going to return to Charles Ray, please.
Okay. Jurors, thank you for your patience.
You saw me show the evidence given to the court and jury in the case that I'm hearing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
I do.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Brennan, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, could you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Charles Ray. I'm a lieutenant with the Canton Police, last name R-A-E.
How long have you worked for the Canton Police Department?
Approximately 25 years.
And when were you assigned lieutenant?
Approximately 10 years ago.
I want to go back to January 29th, 2022. Do you remember that morning?
Yes.
Were you working that morning?
Yes, I came in for the day shift.
When you first came in for the day shift, did you have any particular duties or responsibilities?
I would have been a patrol shift commander for the 7:45 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. incoming shift.
Had you learned about an event that occurred at 34 Fairview Road?
I had.
Were you part of that response or group of officers that went to 34 Fairview Road?
No, I was not.
Your role that morning was unrelated to 34 Fairview Road?
Correct.
At some point, did you learn the name of the person who was at 34 Fairview Road that needed medical attention?
I did.
And what was that person's name?
Mr. John O'Keefe.
Did you learn that Mr. O'Keefe was brought to the hospital?
I did.
At some point, were you advised of his status?
At some point later in the day, yes.
While you were at the station after learning about Mr. O'Keefe,
you are muted.
Did you make a decision to do something?
I did.
Was it an order from somebody, or did you make a decision on your own?
I can't recall whether it was an order from somebody. I don't think it was an order, but it might have been at the suggestion of the former chief of police. Either that or it just developed organically. But one way or the other, we decided that the right thing to do would be to do a well-being check of the home at One Meadows Ave, which is the decedent's residence.
Why were you doing a well-being check at Meadows Ave?
We at that time, we were under the impression that there may be two unattended young children at the home.
When you decided to go to Meadows Ave, did you use a police vehicle?
Yes.
Do you remember which vehicle it was?
The Canton 682, which is the supervisor's vehicle.
When you decided to go to Meadows for a well-being check, did you ask anybody to come with you?
Yes, myself and Sergeant Lehan.
Do you remember the weather that morning?
Yes.
So could you describe it for us?
There was a well-forecasted snowstorm that had already began, and it was starting to pick up intensity at that point.
At this point, I had moved to admit the dash cam video from Cruiser 682.
Okay.
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 71.
Did you travel from the police station to Meadows?
Yes.
Do you remember about how long that took you?
A few minutes.
Who was driving?
Sergeant Lehan was driving.
And where were you seated?
I was in the passenger seat.
Do you remember arriving at Meadows?
Yes.
With the court's permission, I would show a portion of Cruiser 682. Could you stop, please, Ms. Gilman? I note that the time is 8:23:10. Do you remember the time when you got there?
I didn't make note of it mentally at that time, but I've since learned that, yes.
Is this video that you have just watched consistent with your memory that morning?
Yes.
The cruiser cam is showing two vehicles in the driveway. When you arrived that morning, did you know whose vehicles they were?
At that time, no.
At that time, did you pay any particular attention to either of those vehicles?
No.
If I could show Exhibit 10, please. Mm-hmm. Sir, does that appear to be a still photo from the video we just watched?
Yes.
And could I have Exhibit 11, please? When you arrived for the wellness check that morning, were you working as an investigator in any way?
No, I was not.
Did you happen to pay any particular attention to the right side of the back of that car that morning?
No, I did not.
Okay. And is that photograph a close-up of the previous picture?
Yes.
Does it appear to be a still photo taken from the video on the cruiser that you were driving that morning or that you were in that morning?
Yes.
Okay, you can take that down, please. Thank you. After you arrived at Meadows, did you do anything?
When we arrived at Meadows, we went up to the, walked up to the one of the front doors and rang the doorbell, knocked on the door. Anywhere we could see through plain view, we were just trying to see if we could raise anybody and see if the children were at the house.
Did you find anybody?
We did not.
I'm going to ask to show 159. It's a portion of an exhibit that's already been introduced.
Okay.
Thank you. At this time, I've moved to introduce former 19.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay.
Exhibit 72.
Thank you. The first video that, the second to last video you just saw, is that you and your partner arriving?
Correct.
In the last video, who's in the doorway?
I was on the right side of the frame and Sergeant Lehan was on the left side of the frame.
How long did you spend at the residence for the wellness check?
A few minutes. I don't think more than 5 minutes.
Thank you. I have no further questions for the witness.
All right, any questions, Mr. Yanagi?
We have no questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, so you are all set in time. Thank you. So your next witness, Mr. Brennan.
Well, my next witness would be Kevin O'Hara. Okay.
Kevin O'Hara.
You saw this right, the evidence you give to the court and jury in the case now here is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury, spell your last name for the record?
My name is Kevin O'Hara, O-H-A-R-A.
Where do you work?
I'm a lieutenant with the Massachusetts State Police.
How long have you worked for the Massachusetts State Police?
23 years.
When you began your career, what was your role with the Massachusetts State Police?
I was assigned as a trooper, a patrol trooper, working out of several barracks across the state.
Did you have to have any special education or training before you became an official Massachusetts State Police trooper?
Yes, I did. We went to a six-month academy in New Braintree.
How long were you on patrol for?
I was on patrol for 17 years until I became a sergeant in 2018. So 16 years, became a sergeant, then a lieutenant.
In those 16 years, did you have any additional training after basic academy?
Yes, continued training throughout the years, additional training. Eventually, I wound up joining a search and rescue team, went to search and rescue training.
Tell us a little bit about search and rescue, what you did and what you do.
I'm the team commander for the State Police Special Emergency Response Team, which is known as CERT. I'm also the search and rescue coordinator for the state of Massachusetts. As a team, we conduct monthly trainings, at least twice a month, where our team will come together and train. We've been to trainings all across the country to hit national training standards.
Do you have any particular roles when you look? Do you look for certain types of things?
So for CERT, we have three main mission types. We will do lost, missing person searches, we will do evidence searches, and then we also do crowd control or security at large scale events, such as the Boston Marathon, the July 4th celebration. We get assigned to Gillette Stadium for all the events down there as well.
You mentioned that you work, part of your work is looking for missing persons.
Yes, sir.
Did you receive any specialized training, have any special experience looking for missing persons as far as training technique?
Yes, we get certifications through NASAR, which is a national search and rescue organization, NUSAR, which is a New England-based search and rescue group. We will train several different types of trainings to improve our search techniques, including man tracking, probability of detection, critical separation, which is how we'll line up as we're searching certain areas. We've also gone, as I stated before, to national trainings where we've now really use a lot of statistical-based searching in our searches. We'll use live tracking maps now, so we've really advanced the way we search for missing persons.
When you're searching for a missing person, is there a routine or does it depend case by case?
We'll start off with a set normal way we'll deploy. More than likely, we'll start with a canine, searching high probability of areas, trying to get people out as quick as possible. And then eventually it may turn into a line search or a grid search.
You said that you lead the CERT team?
That's correct, sir.
How many CERT teams are there with the Massachusetts State Police?
Just one.
How do you decide what different cases or situations to get involved in? Is that at your request?
It's not at our request. We'll receive requests either internally through other members of our department or externally from outside agencies.
So can you take us through very basically how would a typical request come to you?
Most of the time I'll receive what I call a courtesy notification. I'll get a call from someone that I know on the department or a local police department asking, giving the particulars of the case and if we'd be available and what I think about our response. If we are available, if we're not already on another mission, we'll then start the approval request process, which I have to send up through my chain of command. I have to send that up through a captain, which then will go to a major, who's in charge of the special operations. And then He may have the final say. It may even go higher to him to Lieutenant Colonel of Field Services. If the request is internal through another member of our department, it also has to go up their specific chain of command as well. Sometimes getting an external request sometimes goes faster because there's not that second chain of command, you know, to go through.
In 2022, how many full-time members were on the CERT team?
At that time, we had 55 members, which were, we had one full-time member, 55 total members on the team.
So the members on the CERT team, did they engage in other roles at the state police at the same time they're a member of the CERT team?
Yes, it's an additional duty. They have a primary assignment either at a barracks or some other assignment throughout the state.
If you decided on accepting a mission or you were assigned a mission, who determines how many people from the CERT team would attend?
That would be determined by myself and the captain from Special Operations.
You mentioned back in 2022 there was one full-time member and 55 part-time members of the CERT team?
Yes, 55 total, correct, sir.
As we stand today, how many full-time members of the CERT team?
Currently, we're 69. We did have 71. We've had a few members leave the team recently.
Are those full-time or part-time members?
I'm sorry, that's full total members. We have currently 5 full-time members, so we increased our on both ends.
Are members of the CERT team who work for the Massachusetts State Police drawn from different geographical locations around the state?
That's correct. We try to split east-west the best we can geographically, just so we have as quick a response time as possible. We'll break it down further into, you know, the northeast part of the state, the southeast, central, west, but main breakdown for us is east-west, basically using 495 as our boundary.
If the CERT team's assigned a mission and there are members that have chosen to participate, how often would you go to that scene or involve yourself in that particular event?
When I was the only full-time member, probably 99% of the missions I would go to. Now we have a few other supervisors on the team. I have a full-time executive officer who's also a lieutenant, but my role hasn't changed too much, still 90 to 95% of the missions.
I want you to take us back to January 29, 2022. Were you contacted or was a request made for you to consider and accept a mission?
Yes, I received a call from Lieutenant Tully.
After receiving the call, what was your process?
Again, that was what I would classify as a courtesy notification to see if we were available, if he thought we could get a response on that date. I told him we would be able to respond. I asked him if he had started the approval, the request for approval up his chain of command, which he hadn't at that time. He stated he would start on that, and then I contacted my captain after getting off the phone with him to start the approval process through my chain of command.
Do you remember generally about what time this process began?
He called me at 2:32 p.m.
At some point, was the task or the mission assigned?
So I told Lieutenant Tully that, you know, we had received the snow that day. I told him most of the members, including myself, may not have shoveled out their driveway. I told him at best case scenario would be an hour plus response time, depending on how long, you know, it would take people to shovel out their driveway. So at 2:53, I contacted one of the West team members, a sergeant from the West team, to have him send out an alert to our full team just to build an availability list to see who was available. So at 2:53, that got sent out to the entire team.
At some point, were you able to acquire or compile a team?
Yes, Sergeant Simpson was able to put that list together.
And what time did you start to begin your way towards Fairview Road?
At 3:48, we sent out an alert for the activation of our team, including which members, notifying the team which members would actually be responding. I had just finished shoveling my driveway. By the time I changed into my uniform, got all my equipment together, I left my house at 4:13 p.m.
When you left your house, were you in an assigned cruiser or a personal vehicle?
Assigned cruiser, sir.
Is there tracking of assigned cruisers?
Yes, there is.
Could you share with us how that works?
So each cruiser has an automated vehicle locator or GPS system. It tracks everywhere you go, marking every time you stop.
And did the vehicle you were driving have that system?
Yes, it did, sir.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up.
Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, S-I-G-N-O-S.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.